Tango Tango Pop at 1931, November 11, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from a rest area. I believe I'm in New York State along Interstate 84. Probably not terribly far from Newburgh, New York. So, in any case, I'm on my way from Massachusetts. I picked a load up in Massachusetts this afternoon at, I don't know how they pronounce it, Gloucester. I don't know how they pronounce it. I was going to ask and I forgot to. And then that load delivers to some town south of Indianapolis in Indiana, the name of which is escaping me at the moment. So, anyway, I've been kind of in the past number of days, I've been kind of in the northeast part of the country. So, weather-wise, it's been yesterday and today, it was in the 40s, and I think the temperature even now is still in the 40s. And it's been kind of in drizzle. It's been drizzling all day, I don't know if the drizzle is continuing right now or not. This afternoon, my youngest brother called me, and he's someone had just called him. I think one of the people he knows through work that is apparently a neighbor somewhere out where my house is, called him and told him, the Wiles house is on fire. It's completely engulfed in flames. And so he immediately called me to, he said, "Have you checked your cameras?" And he told me that somebody had called him. And so I immediately, on the Samsung tablet that I have, I immediately opened up the camera app, and all the cameras were working. But come to find out, it was actually the neighbor's house that had caught on fire. And so by the time my brother called me, the fire department had already been there, and I think the fire was probably already being put out, or kind of the tail end of it, or maybe they'd even already put it out. But I could see in the camera the fire trucks were turning around and actually leaving at that point. So, but that house at one point, or for years, my parents owned that house, and a few years ago they sold it, their part of the property. They sold that house and the 2.5 acres that went with it, and then these other people bought it. And so then, you know, and they've been the neighbors for several years now. So apparently, kind of piecing everything together after the fact, and of course I text messaged with the neighbor, the neighbors were not at home whenever the fire broke out. I think they may have already been on, they were probably on their way to work, so they were not at home whenever the fire broke out. And but apparently the fire department, so I don't know who called the fire department, but the fire department responded pretty quick, and they got the fire put out before it really burned the house down. But however, I guess the house, it didn't involve the roof or anything, and it's a rock house, so it's rock outside, and it's real rock. The house is probably at least 75 years old, and it's been kind of the interior's been kind of redone a number of times, plus a new roof and everything. So the roof kind of looks intact, and the house sort of looks intact, but I guess the windows, there's obviously a bunch of smoke inside, and so the windows are all kind of black. And the neighbor, you know, when I was texting him, he thinks that it's probably a total loss. So a little bit of excitement. Not the kind of excitement you want to really hear about. That would, if you think about that, that would really be the pits. You're gone, you know, away, you're on your way to work, or you're at work, and then someone calls you and tells you that your house is on fire, and, and then you come back to a burning house with a fire department there. That would be pretty terrible. But so I don't know what the neighbors are going to do. They'll have to wait for the insurance company. And I'm sure, the insurance company will send an investigator out, and they'll figure out how the fire started, and who knows, it was probably an electrical fire, I'm assuming, but of course the electrical wiring had been, that had all been updated a number of years ago. But on the other hand, it might have been a wiring problem, or it might not have been. It might have been if it was electrical, it could have been an appliance problem. Those kind of things happen too. Or you can have varmints that get in and chew wiring as well. So you just never really know, what would cause a fire like that. But they'll figure, they've got that down to a pretty good science. So they'll be able to figure that out, and so I don't know if the neighbor at this point, they don't know if they'll if the thing can kind of be rebuilt inside, because the outside looks fine if you just look at it from my camera point of view anyway, which isn't, admittedly, it's not super high resolution. My camera is the surveillance camera is just 640x480, but. At least from superficially, it looks okay, but of course that's from a distance as well, through a window. I have the camera mounted in a window, and so it's through the glass and, at a distance. And then, of course, that camera does not zoom or anything. And it's 640x480. But apparently there's probably some severe damage inside, and then plus you have the smoke damage, and then I'm sure there's water damage on top of that in order to get the fire out. So it's possible that they could rebuild the thing, rebuild the interior, or if it's deemed that it's just too far gone, then I guess they could just knock it down and either... possibly build a replacement, or I think they're probably more inclined to just put a mobile home there. And, because they had actually talked about that at one point, maybe getting a mobile home and either putting a mobile home on a different part of their 2.5 acres and, or get rid of the house and put the mobile home there. So, but that's yet to be determined, and so I'm not due home until the 30th. So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. And in the meantime, I texted back and forth with the neighbor a few times, and I don't want to bother him. I'm sure this is a I can only imagine what a crappy day that would be, because essentially the only clothes they have at this point are the clothes they have on their back. You know, the guy and his wife, and so of course they have their cars and what have you, things of that nature, but all their clothing obviously would be in the house, and so I think they have relatives that they can stay with in the meantime, and then probably the insurance. I don't know if their insurance would get them a motel, maybe, possibly as well. So in the meantime, they'll have to have more clothing, and I could just imagine that would be a real nightmare. So, not the kind of excitement that that you want to hear about, but these things do happen, and it could have been much worse. At least they weren't home sleeping when that happened. I've talked to my parents a couple of times today, told them about it, and you know, of course, my mom tends to worry. And she, you know, she's thinking, well, you know, all of the years that she was sleeping in that house, and you know, when she was still working years ago, sleeping in the daytime, at times she was sleeping in the daytime and what have you, when she had was working odd hours. And but it's just one of those things. You never, you know, something like that can never happen for years, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the fires can get started, and there's, you know, I'm assuming, again, it's probably electrical. I guess it was really warm there today. It was like 75 degrees, which is pretty warm for we're in what? Sort of the third part, you know, the first third of November. So November the 11th, I guess it was, today was a November the 11th, so it was 75 degrees there. I think it's supposed to turn colder, man, but from what they were saying, it was extremely windy today. So, again, you know, that's really not the kind of thing you want to hear, and, you know, and that could have been my house. It could have, you know, it could just as easily have been my house, and, you know, that would really be the pits. Of course, I've tried, you know, I try to make sure that everything's, you know, that there are no fire hazards and what have you. But again, you never really know. You know, things can go wrong. And, you know, with wiring and appliances, things can go wrong. And if they do and nobody's around to kind of catch it right when it happens, you can have problems. So, but the old saying is true, you know, stuff can be replaced and people can't. And so at least the neighbors, again, you know, nobody was home or sleeping whenever that happened, because that house is actually just a very small house. And so if there was, you know, once a fire started, if someone was sleeping in the house, then it would be, you know, they would probably be overcome with the smoke, you know, in just in a matter of moments, I would think. So it would, not a good situation, but those fires do happen, and that's why every community has a fire department. So anyhow, I have a little short audio clip that Joel sent me a few days ago, so I'm going to go ahead and play it and respond. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Well, I'm actually listening to your new show, and heard the, you know, more of your opinion. I know it's all this, really hasn't changed much. So, but I was wondering if you've seen the news about they're basically going to be migrating or merging Chrome and Android together. Chrome as in Chrome OS. And I've never tried a Chromebook. Never really thought to buy one because I figured if I'm going to spend that much money, I want to buy something that's a bit more functional. And an Android tablet is even more functional than a Chromebook in some ways. But I'm wondering if you've, what you had to think about those. I've always wanted, like I said, always wanted to have one. Really haven't been able to justify buying one.
Okay, well, thank you for the question, Joel. No. I've looked at them in the store, and at this point, I wouldn't buy one because you said it yourself. They really don't offer the functionality. I think the Chromebook. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, I'm sure there's the people that made those to begin with had a sort of a reason for doing it. But I think that kind of came along probably after the kind of the netbook craze started. And again, my opinion, you know, with the reason the netbooks took off and kind of became a thing for a while was that the manufacturers inadvertently dangled the idea of a super portable small machine that was a real computer that you could do real productivity on in a super portable package. And so then I think, you know, and in the meantime, you had all these mobile devices, and people were sort of really enamored with their mobile devices, their smartphones and then tablets. And so the idea, you know, that here comes Google, they're offering a Chromebook, and they're cheaper, but then on the other hand, they're limited. You have to have an internet connection. Everything happens in the cloud, quote unquote, and you can sort of do productivity on them and do media consumption type stuff. But then again, there's a lot of things you can't do. You know, how are you gonna be able to record a podcast on a Chromebook? Probably not. That in that sense, it's even less functional than something like an iPad would be, or an Android tablet. You know, because there's, you know, how would you record a podcast on it? How would you could you edit video on it? Probably not. You'd probably be pretty hard-pressed. So all you could do with a Chromebook, besides some media consumption, watch web, you know, any kind of web content, web videos, read articles, the only thing you could do is you can type on them. And not everybody is typing, you know, there people do a fair amount of typing in creating content, but that's not the only content that you might want to do, or that's not the only productivity that you're going to do. So, at this point, I have kind of come full circle, as we've talked about before, and I've kind of experimented with all these different things that are, and as I've said before, apps on a smartphone, apps on a tablet have their place, and if they do the apps right, they take the little bits and bobs and put them in an app, and then you've got a really useful, quick way to get into your bank account or to check Facebook or whatever that you could do in a full browser, but it's easier to do in the app. But that's not always the case. Because there's a lot of productivity stuff that you have to do that apps just can't cut it. Apps are kind of pretenders when it comes to real productivity. And so, Google has a big business with Chromebooks in schools, and I can kind of see that, because then everything's online. They don't have to worry about local storage. Everything ends up being online. And the kids are, at best, what they're doing is typing, and they're not trying to do other types of productivity. They can do the productivity all in the cloud. And so in that case, a Chromebook works, and Google's got a real business. I think I was listening to a podcast earlier, and they said that there were 30,000, I don't remember if it was a week or a month, maybe a week, 30,000 Chromebooks being activated a week in schools, or it might be a month. I'm not sure of the exact figure. I'd have to go back and listen. But it's substantial. Whatever it is, it's quite a substantial number of Chromebooks, new ones, that are being activated by schools. And so Chromebooks have really caught on in schools. And in that case, that's great, because it's less expensive and less capable. But do I, as a computer user, do I need something less expensive but less capable? You know, and then some of this podcast I was listening to, they were talking about, the guy wanted one, he never did get one, he didn't like the crappy displays on the cheaper models, and of course then if you get the better ones, the better Chromebooks, Dell makes some, and some other manufacturers make some, and I guess what's this Chromebook Pixel or whatever, that gets pretty pricey. You could buy a real computer for that price. So why would you buy something that's kind of limited, something that's kind of crippled, when you can have a real computer for the same price? So I think that personally, I can only, you know, it just, you know, it's going to vary, and there's different uses for different devices. Personally, I've found the machine that I've been looking for in this Surface Pro 3. This is really what I've been, it kind of hits all of the points of the things I've been hunting for, because it's got the ultra portability, and yet it's a real computer, and I've got a touch screen, so I can still watch videos on it, I can still do the tablet things on it, but easily attach the magnetic keyboard, and I've got a real keyboard that types well, along with a trackpad. And if I want to, I can, if I need the extra precision, like when I'm editing videos, hook up the wireless mouse, and there I've got all the precision that I could possibly want. So I've got the best of everything. This is what I wanted. So, and I really don't feel like my hands are sort of tied the way I do with a traditional laptop that doesn't have a touch screen, or with a netbook and the really super cramped, crappy keyboard experience on a netbook and the slow performance. I've got fast performance. I've got a touch screen. I've got a touchpad. I can hook up a mouse. I've got a great keyboard, and plus I've got the tablet experience. So, and by the way, I ended up buying this app called ArtRage Touch. Now, there's a bunch of different versions of ArtRage. You can buy there's Mac versions for OS X. There are iPad versions. I think there's probably even some Android versions. And certainly there's versions of it for Windows. You can get the full version of the program, I think, sells for about $50. And the version that I ended up buying was it was in the Windows Store for under $10. It was like $9.99 or $9.95. And so I bought this ArtRage Touch program, and I've been kind of playing with it. And so, if you want to see my crappy art, I've been putting, you know, posted a couple of them to Facebook so far. And it's just something to kind of play with. It's interesting. by no means am I an artist. I'm lucky if I can draw a recognizable Walmart smiley face and, you know, people be able to recognize it. So I'm not an artist, but on the other hand, it's kind of fun to play with it sometimes. At some points, it's fun to experiment. It's fun to play with the stuff. And in this case, it's digital, so there's no paper that's wasted. No trees have to die for the, and I don't have anything to throw away afterwards or to, what do I do with it? Do I try to save it, throw it away, whatever? It's just digital. It's just bits. And there's no mess. There's no paint, even though it kind of, the digital version sort of behaves like paint. You can make it really resemble paint or chalk or the mediums, the different types of paper. Some of it's rough, some of it's more rough, some of it's less rough, and so it's kind of fun to play with. I also have it on the iPad as well as ArtRage, and so ArtRage is, if you got a touch screen, especially ArtRage is a fun thing to play with. So if you want to see my crappy art. Like I say, I've been posting, I've got two things that I posted to Facebook so far, and I'm not doing it all the time, but ever so often, it's just kind of fun to play with. And I think, you know, really in order to get better at art, it's like anything else, you've got to practice it. And I think there are a lot of people that say, oh, well, that person's really talented, they can draw. Well, I think the reason that they can draw is because they were motivated to do it. And I think that's like, there's a lot of other things that are the same way. If you're really motivated to do something, then you put in the time to kind of learn how to do it. And then all of a sudden it seems like you have talent, but you've put in the time is what it really comes down to. So, art has never been something that I've been really motivated with, but it's just kind of a casual thing, and this program is inexpensive enough. It's kind of a fun thing to play with, and of course, in the case of the Surface Pro 3, I've got the stylus that came with it, and I can actually use that stylus to draw very fine lines or thick lines or... And of course, the program itself comes with different digital pencils and you know, digital airbrush, etc., etc. So it's kind of a fun thing to play with and fun thing to have that option anyway. So anyway, I just wanted to make a little update. I don't want to really talk too long. What time is it? It's about, well, it would be 11 p.m. Eastern time. I've stopped. The reason I could have kept driving about another 4.5 hours, but then the problem I would have is that I only have 1 hour. I have about an hour and a quarter that I get tomorrow in new hours. So I figured I might as well stop here, and then I can drive... About 5 hours tomorrow, and you know, kind of get closer to Indiana, stop somewhere. I don't know where 5 hours from here will put me. Maybe someplace in Pennsylvania or possibly into eastern Ohio. Not sure about that. And then I'll drive the rest of the way on the 13th, and then get it there sometime and probably in the evening on the 13th, and then see what they come up with after that. But like I said before, not scheduled to be home again until the 30th, so that leaves me today was the 11th, so that leaves me about 19 more days. So almost 3 weeks, better part of 3 weeks anyway. So still have some time to go before I make it home again. And then I think my vacation, I checked a day before yesterday, I think I checked. And my vacation, I looked. When I scheduled it, made a note of it in the calendar. And so the my vacation schedule to start on December 19th. So once I take my time off, starting on the 30th, I don't know if I'll take the full 5 days off. Maybe I'll just take 4 days off. I haven't decided yet. And then I'll be back, you know, I'll go leave out probably, let's say, if I get home on the 30th. So let's say I leave on the 5th, for example. So we have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So that's about 2 weeks. And then be back again to start my vacation. So, anyhow, like I said, I just wanted to kind of make a quick podcast and not let things go too long. So, from a rest area somewhere in upstate New York along Interstate 84, fairly close to Newburgh, New York. Hope you're having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.